Imagine checking into like a 5-star luxury hotel.
Okay.
The concierge hands you this heavy, solid brass key. They look you directly in the eye and they promise you absolute uncompromising privacy.
Sounds pretty ideal.
Right. So you go up to your room, you lock the deadbolt, and you leave your most sensitive, intimate documents just spread out on the desk. You feel entirely secure.
But I'm guessing you're not.
Not at all, because what the concierge didn't tell you is that they secretly minted thousands of master keys to your room, and they just left them sitting in a cardboard box down by the front desk.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a problem.
And it gets worse. The walls of your room, they aren't concrete. They are actually made of one-way glass.
So anyone walking by in the dark,
Exactly. Anyone walking by can see exactly what you left on that desk.
that is a very visceral image.
Well, today we're exploring a massive question based on that idea. What happens when the internet's most intimate secrets are promised absolute protection, but they're actually sitting in a digital glass house, just waiting for someone to throw a stone?
It perfectly encapsulates the structural reality of how so much of our digital infrastructure has historically operated. I mean, privacy for a very long time was treated as a marketing slogan rather than a measurable mathematical imperative.
Which brings us to our mission for this deep dive into the sources you've shared with us today. We are looking at a remarkably detailed cyber forensics report from Tech and Game.
Right, the 2026 report.
Yep. It's titled Ashley Madison Breach Autopsy, The Ultimate Cyber Scandal, published on August 13th, 2026. And we're going to explore the complete anatomy of that catastrophic 2015 data leak.
That's a heavy one.
It really is. We're going straight into the corporate deception that caused it. And most importantly, we are going to uncover the mandatory security lessons that you and I must apply to our digital lives today, because we have to survive in a landscape where data is permanent.
And I think the underlying theme of this entire report is just vital to establish up front. The 2015 breach wasn't simply a story about a technical failure.
Right, it wasn't just a glitch.
Exactly. A firewall didn't just crash. This is a profound case study of what inevitably happens when a company relies on advertising copy to secure its servers instead of, relying on actual cryptography.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the sheer scale of the promises made by this company is staggering when you really look back at it. We are talking about Ashley Madison, this internationally prominent online dating service run by a parent company called Avid Life Media, or ALM.
And their target audience was highly specific.
Very specific. They weren't matching people for casual coffee dates. They were explicitly targeting individuals seeking extramarital affairs, secret encounters.
Yeah, high stakes stuff.
Extremely. And because of the explosive nature of that business model, ALM marketed one core golden promise to their users: 100% discretion.
And that was the central pillar holding up their entire financial structure. I mean, they assured registered users that their identities, their private communications, and their payment telemetry.
Like their credit card footprints, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They promised all of that was shielded by state-of-the-art security architectures. They fostered this sense of absolute anonymity, and honestly, the marketing worked flawlessly.
It attracted over 37 million registered accounts globally.
37 million. It's huge.
37 million people buying into the illusion of the fortress. And ALM capitalized on the anxiety of those users by offering a premium service. For $19, they sold a full delete feature.
Ah, yes. The infamous delete button.
Right. They guaranteed that if you paid this fee, they would act as a digital cleaner. They would permanently purge all your user records, your transaction histories, your messaging logs from their servers. You pay $19 and poof, it's like you never existed.
But the forensic reality revealed in the Tekin report paints a very different picture.
A completely different picture.
That $19 full delete service was a complete fabrication. The post-breach audit provided undeniable forensic proof that ALM subjected those deleted accounts to what database analysts call a deceptive soft delete.
Okay, so if I'm visualizing how a soft delete works mechanically, it's like a database is essentially just a giant Excel spreadsheet, right?
Essentially, yes.
So instead of actually deleting the row with my name and data on it, the software just goes to a column labeled visible and changes the yes to a no.
That is the exact mechanism.
So the data never actually leaves the hard drive.
Never. The unencrypted, plain text records of these users were fully retained in internal database backups. The company collected millions of dollars for data destruction, but they simply hid the profiles from the front-end user interface.
Unbelievable.
And plain text means the data wasn't scrambled or mathematically altered in any way.
Yeah.
It was perfectly readable to anyone who could access the file directory.
It's like paying top dollar for a heavy-duty paper shredder. You feed your most ruinous, sensitive documents into the machine, you hear the gears grinding, and you walk away relieved.
Right, you think you're safe.
But later, you open the machine and realize it didn't cut a single page. It just neatly stacked your documents inside a transparent filing cabinet that anyone walking through the office can just open.
That's a brutally accurate analogy. And the corporate deception extended far beyond just data retention. It infected the very nature of the community they were selling.
Oh my gosh, the demographics. I was reading the section on the user base and my jaw actually dropped.
It's pretty shocking.
ALM touted this massive, thriving community of active, verified female subscribers to attract paying male users. But the forensic audit proved that over 95% of those female profiles were automated chatbots.
Fembots.
Fembots, designed internally by the company itself.
The engineering behind it was highly systematic. The company deployed natural language processing scripts, and they connected them to databases of generic, flirtatious responses.
So they were entirely fake.
Entirely. The whole goal of these bots was to fabricate user activity and dupe male users into paying for microtransaction credits to send messages. I mean, you have 37 million registered users, and a massive portion of the interaction was simply men paying to talk to server scripts.
Wow.
What's fascinating here is how these specific deceptive practices, you know, the fake delete button, the army of bots, they actually became the catalyst for the entire Glasshouse shattering.
Right, because when the breach occurred in July 2015, it wasn't your standard cyber attack.
Not at all. It was a sharp deviation from the norm. When we analyze major data breaches, the adversaries are almost universally financially motivated.
They want a payout.
Exactly. They want to exfiltrate credit card databases to sell on dark web forums, or they deploy ransomware to freeze the company's networks and extort a massive cryptocurrency payment.
Yeah.
But the adversary in this case, a collective calling itself the Impact Team, they operated on a completely different paradigm.
They weren't looking for a payday at all. They were executing a moral ultimatum.
Right. The Impact Team breached ALM's internal networks and database clusters. And when they bypassed the perimeter security, they didn't just find user data.
They found all the lies.
They found the plain text storage, the deceptive soft deletes, and the source code for the millions of fembots. They were acting out of ideological opposition to the fraud itself.
So they issued a direct threat to the corporate executives.
Yes. Permanently shut down Ashley Madison and its affiliated site, Established Men, or every single byte of stolen customer data would be released to the global public.
And the executives ignored the threat. I mean, you really have to wonder about the psychology in that boardroom.
Denial is powerful.
It must be. Maybe they thought it was a bluff. Or maybe they thought their internal IT team could patch the vulnerability and contain the leak before the deadline. But they refused to shut down.
So the hackers followed through.
And they didn't just leak a manageable spreadsheet. They dropped approximately 60 gigabytes of compressed SQL databases. And crucially, they seeded it across BitTorrent networks.
That deployment method is critical to understand. Releasing data via BitTorrent means it is instantly and permanently decentralized.
It's not just a file on a website somewhere.
Exactly. It isn't a file hosted on a single server that law enforcement can just unplug. BitTorrent relies on a swarm of peers. Thousands of people downloading the file simultaneously become uploaders of that exact same file.
It's like a Hydra.
It is. Once that 60 gigabyte database was seeded, it became mathematically impossible to scrub it from the internet.
And the granularity of the telemetry exposed in that torrent is just terrifying. We aren't just talking about a list of usernames and hashed passwords here.
No, it was much deeper.
The dump included real names, precise physical addresses, GPS coordinates logged by the mobile apps, comprehensive billing transaction histories, partial credit card numbers.
And the email domains.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps most explosively, thousands of official .gov and .mil government and military email accounts. People were actually using their official government workstations to register for a secret affair site.
It highlights a severe cognitive dissonance in how users approach digital platforms. I mean, we casually hand over vast amounts of personal telemetry, assuming that a 100% discretion banner at the top of a website acts as a physical, bulletproof shield.
But it doesn't.
No. And transitioning from the technical execution of this leak to the aftermath? Well, the Tekken report pivots from a corporate security failure into a lethal global human disaster.
Right. The report includes a comparative matrix that really puts this into perspective. It contrasts a conventional financial breach, like, say, a massive retail chain getting hacked, with the intimate data compromise of Ashley Madison.
Because the harm vectors operate on entirely different timelines. If your credit card is stolen in a retail breach, the damage is strictly short-term.
Right. You notice a fraudulent charge for a TV in another state. The bank reimburses the funds, they issue you a new piece of plastic, and you're good.
Within a week, the threat horizon is completely resolved. Yeah. The hackers want money. They have no interest in you as an individual.
But intimate data breaches weaponize the individual. The consequences detailed in the report are devastating. The leak triggered widespread dark web cyber extortion, specifically sextortion.
It was rampant.
Hackers were cross-referencing the Ashley Madison emails with Facebook and LinkedIn profiles. They would email users saying, you know, I have your affair profile, I have your spouse's contact info, send me Bitcoin, or I forward your chat logs to your family and your employer.
Just brutal blackmail.
It caused waves of marital breakdowns, incredibly contentious legal disputes, the public exposure of high-ranking officials. The report even confirms multiple suicides of victims who were just overwhelmed by the sudden, inescapable public humiliation.
And returning to that comparative matrix, this is the ultimate differentiator. The threat persistence is permanent.
Because it never goes away.
Right. Financial data expires, a credit card is eventually canceled, but intimate telemetry, you know, the fact that a specific person at a specific GPS coordinate paid for a secret affair on a specific Tuesday in 2014, that data never expires. It remains perpetually searchable on the dark web, meaning the risk for social blackmail is endless.
Now, I want to push back on this a bit because when this breach first made headlines, a lot of people assumed there was an easy out.
The deniability angle.
Yeah. Couldn't a user just claim their email was spoofed? Like, couldn't someone tell their spouse, look, I have enemies at work. Someone must have typed my email into this site as a prank. I never made that account.
The prankster defense was incredibly common in the early days of the fallout. And honestly, if the impact team had only leaked a list of email addresses, deniability would have been entirely plausible. Dating sites often don't verify emails immediately upon sign up anyway.
Sure, but even beyond the email, couldn't a user have used a VPN to hide their IP address or just typed in a fake physical address on the sign up page? I mean, people lie on internet forms all the time.
They do on the sign up forms, yes. But that defense completely collapses when you look at the payment gateway.
Ah, the credit cards.
Right. The impact team didn't just leak the profile data. They leaked the unencrypted credit card billing logs. When you pay for a premium subscription with a credit card, the payment processor requires AVS.
The address verification system.
Exactly. You cannot fake the billing zip code or the transaction declines. The hackers leaked the exact timestamp of transaction, the partial credit card number, and the verified billing address.
So you can claim a prankster used your email, but you absolutely cannot claim a prankster perfectly guessed your billing zip code, the last four digits of your Visa, and made a charge that exactly matches a $19 withdrawal on your monthly bank statement.
Bingo. The unencrypted storage of that billing telemetry stripped away any possibility of plausible deniability. The mathematics of the financial transaction prove the human behavior.
So what does this all mean? We have 37 million people exposed, families shattered, and a corporation caught running a massive fraud.
It's a mess.
We are sitting here looking at this autopsy in 2026. The lawsuits happened, the FTC fines happened, but none of that unleaked the data. How do we actually fix the glass house so this never happens again?
We fix it by acknowledging that legal compliance and corporate promises are insufficient.
Right.
The architecture of how data is collected, stored, and destroyed must be fundamentally altered. And the Taken editorial board provides very clear, mandatory modern-day solutions based on 2026 security standards.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The entire shift the report advocates for is moving away from trusting a company's marketing department and moving toward trusting immutable math.
Yes. The first major paradigm shift is the complete abandonment of unencrypted centralized databases.
Which was the Ashley Madison model.
Right. The old model was a central server where the company held all the data and all the keys to read that data in one big digital bucket. But the mandatory 2026 standard is client-side zero-knowledge encryption enclaves.
Okay, so if I'm understanding the mechanics of this correctly, client-side zero-knowledge means the company is essentially providing a highly secure, locked safe for me to store my data on their servers.
Correct.
But they do not have the combination to the safe. The combination is generated and stored exclusively on my physical device, like my phone or my laptop.
That is precisely how it works. The data is mathematically scrambled on your device before it ever travels over the internet to the company's servers.
So the company just hosts the locked box.
The company hosts the encrypted files, but they have zero knowledge of the contents. If a group like the Impact Team breaches the company today, all they extract is encrypted ciphertext. It just looks like digital static.
Even the employees can't read it.
Even the company's own database administrators cannot read your messages or view your granular telemetry.
Which means the data is useless for extortion.
Exactly.
But the report also talks about stopping the hackers from getting into the servers in the first place. It highlights upgrading from traditional passwords to FIDO to hardware keys and on-device biometric locks.
Yes, physical security keys.
But how does me having a physical USB key stop a server breach?
Because the vast majority of server breaches do not start with a hacker aggressively brute forcing a firewall.
Oh.
No, they start with lateral movement. A hacker sends a phishing email to a database administrator, seals their password, and simply logs into the server as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
A FIDO2 hardware key physically prevents this.
Because you need the physical object.
Right. It requires the user to physically touch a cryptographic token plugged into their machine to authenticate a login.
So even if the hacker in Russia tricks the employee into handing over their password, the hacker can't log in because they don't physically have the USB key sitting on the employee's desk in California.
Exactly. It breaks the chain of remote exploitation. And then we arrive at the solution for the fraudulent $19 full delete scam.
The cryptographic shredding.
Yes. The industry standard for guaranteeing data destruction is now a process called cryptographic shredding.
How does that actually work? Because we just established that soft deletes are a lie, and we know that companies constantly back up their servers.
Back up everything, yes.
So how do I, as a user, guarantee a file is gone if it's sitting on a backup tape in a warehouse somewhere?
By understanding what an encryption key actually is. The key that locks your data isn't a physical object. It is a massive string of random mathematics, usually 256 bits long, stored locally in the secure enclave of your smartphone.
Okay, so it's on my phone.
Right. And cryptographic shredding works in tandem with the zero-knowledge architecture. When you want to delete your account, you do not ask the server to erase the file.
You don't ask them to push the delete button.
Exactly. You simply command your phone to securely overwrite and destroy your local encryption key.
So I am essentially permanently scrambling the combination to the safe.
Yes. Once that mathematical key is wiped from your device, all the data sitting on the company's server and every backup tape in every warehouse instantly becomes permanently unreadable.
Wow.
You don't have to trust the company to respect your delete request. You simply destroy the only mathematical string in the universe capable of decrypting the information.
That puts the control entirely back into the hands of the user. But the TechIn advisory team also provides some highly practical advice for you listening right now, assuming you are interacting with platforms that haven't fully adopted these 2026 standards yet.
Yes. The primary directive is to adopt a posture of aggressive data minimization.
Less is more.
Exactly. The less telemetry you provide, the smaller your blast radius if a breach occurs. Use anonymous email aliases for online services. Apple and privacy-focused providers offer tools that generate random email addresses for every site you visit.
Funneling them to your main inbox without exposing your actual address.
Precisely.
And the report is incredibly strict about isolating credentials. Never, under any circumstances, register personal accounts using work, government, or organizational emails. The thousands of .mil accounts in the 2015 dump prove that people are great at compartmentalizing their secret lives in their heads, but terrible at executing it on their keyboards.
Furthermore, prioritize applications and hardware that utilize on-device processing.
Meaning keeping the data local.
Right. If a dating app or a financial tool processes your data directly on the silicon of your smartphone, the raw, unencrypted telemetry never has to travel to a vulnerable cloud server in the first place.
Yeah.
The risk is neutralized before it ever reaches the network.
It is reassuring to see that the legal and regulatory systems have finally caught up to this reality, even if they were too late for the 2015 victims. The report notes that ALM was eventually hit with a massive $60 million FTC deceptive practices lawsuit settlement.
And the regulatory landscape today is far more punitive. We now have strict, mandatory privacy audits enforced by GDPR and the EU AI Act.
Right.
Regulators are legally enforcing a new standard. If a corporation promises discretion in its marketing, It must mathematically prove it is providing it in its architecture. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the ultimate takeaway from the entire tech and autopsy is clear.
Yeah.
Blind faith in corporate marketing claims is the single most dangerous decision a digital consumer can make today. It is an open invitation to disaster.
Let's bring all of this together. We started with Avid Life Media, a company that constructed a massive, highly leverative empire on the fragile promise of 100% discretion.
Right.
They monetized their users' need for privacy, they charged them for a delete button that was a complete technical fraud, and they padded their ecosystem with an army of automated chatbots.
And then we examined the catastrophic July 2015 breach, where the impact team bypassed the perimeter, demanded an end to the deception, and upon the executive's refusal, decentralized 60 gigabytes of highly granular, unencrypted plain text data via BitTorrent.
We saw how that exposure wasn't just a technical glitch. Granular telemetry, you know, the GPS coordinates, IP addresses, and AVS verified billing histories, it stripped away all plausible deniability.
It was undeniable.
And it translated directly into devastating human tragedy, sextortion, shattered families, and suicides. A permanent, unerasable nightmare for those individuals.
Which ultimately forced the technological evolution to the 2026 standards we see today. The deployment of client-side zero-knowledge encryption enclaves, FIDO2 hardware authentication to stop lateral network movement, and cryptographic shredding to render backup data mathematically useless.
It's a whole new world.
It represents the necessary transition from trusting corporate promises to trusting immutable mathematics.
Because the Ashley Madison autopsy proves that exposed intimate data isn't just a temporary headache you can resolve by calling your bank for a new card. It is a permanent human risk. In the modern digital age, your own security vigilance, data minimization, and reliance on verifiable cryptography is your only true safeguard.
Which leaves us with one final, very real thought to consider. The Taken report makes it abundantly clear that data hosted on unencrypted servers never truly disappears. It just waits in the dark.
Right.
So looking at your own digital life right now, think about the dozens, perhaps hundreds, of accounts you've created over the last decade. If a company you blindly trusted yesterday is breached tomorrow, what piece of your forgotten digital footprint could suddenly become a permanent part of your public record?
That is a question every single one of us needs to answer before someone else does. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into these sources. Stay vigilant, trust the math, and we'll catch you next time.